Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Micah chapter 7. And no, I'm not preaching the same sermon as last Sunday, because I know last Sunday we were in Micah 7 as well. We're looking at different verses in Micah chapter 7 this morning. And we're looking at the topic of forgiveness. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at the topic of forgiveness. And as we think about that, we love to hear those three little words that are so powerful. And no, I'm not talking about I love you. The three little words that I'm talking about this morning that you and I love to hear is I forgive you. We've all done something wrong to hurt someone and we need to be forgiven. I'm so grateful that I married a very forgiving woman because I have done a lot of bonehead things. Just to share a couple stories that come to my mind that I'm shocked that I'm actually still living. And instead of killing me, she actually forgave me. One is we were going to visit a friend of mine, and this was in West Virginia. He lives partially up a mountain, and the road to get to his house, it kind of looks like you're driving off the side of the mountain. If you don't know where the road is, you can't see it. So we're going to his house. Wife had never been there before. And so as we get there and we're getting ready to turn on the road that I know where it is, I look at her and say, you know what? I'm tired of this life. I'm just going to drive off the mountain. And I turn the car in. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why she didn't kill me, but I went in the right in the driveway. But she forgave me eventually. And then another time, she was very pregnant with Ella. And I was hiding in a dark room and she was walking by. And I took a little stuffed skunk and threw it across the floor right in front of her. We had mice problems at the house. Yeah, I don't know how Ella didn't get born that night. And then she tells me, I told her I was going to share that story. And so she tells me, I don't know if I've forgiven you for that one or not. But forgiveness is a beautiful and a powerful thing. And when people forgive us, does that not bring joy to your heart? When you know that somebody has forgiven you for something that you have done? And I want you to think for a minute this morning. I want you to think about how many things people have forgiven you for. Now, if you're like me, that list is a lot. And as we think about that, now think about the forgiveness that comes from God. Think about the times that you and I have offended a holy God, where we have messed up, where we have done things that we should not do. And think about the incredible times that God has forgiven us. The forgiveness that comes from God is so much greater than any forgiveness that comes from a person. And the forgiveness that comes from God, it's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned it. It's because He loves us. And today we're going to take some time to look at the amazing, incredible forgiveness that comes from God. And as we look at Micah chapter 7, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God reads, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever, but because He delights in mercy." And that's that Hebrew word chesed that means unfailing love. "He will again have compassion on us, and He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy," again chesed, "to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old." Lord, I pray that you would encourage each and every one of our hearts this morning through the beauty that comes from this passage. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us see the beautiful forgiveness that you give to us and that you grant us, even though we've not earned it, even though we don't deserve it. But Lord, you simply forgive because you love us and you care about us. And I pray that you would help us to see the incredible, beautiful truths in this passage today. I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see in these verses is we see that God is like no other. You know, Micah says, who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Praise be to God that he is like no other. Praise God that our God is not like anyone else that we know. What is really cool is when we realize that the Hebrew name Micah means who is like the Lord. So what we see taking place here is who is like the Lord says, who is a God like you? Micah is living up to his name when he says, God, who is like you? And we know this is a rhetorical question because the answer is no one. There is absolutely no one that could compare to the incredible, wonderful goodness of our God. There are many things about God that sets him apart from the gods of religion. Remember, Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. You know, people will look at me and say, you're a religious person, right? I was like, no, I don't like religion. Because religion is all about man seeking God. Religion is all about going through the motions. Religion is all about what do I have to do? Christianity is all about look what God did by sending Jesus to take our place. And so there are many things that sets the God of the Bible apart from any other God in any other religion. And here are just a few of those. Our God is personal. He wants to know us and be known by us. Our God is seeking. He comes looking for us. Our God is merciful. We see this in his incredible forgiveness. Our God is loving. We see his love all around us. Our God is powerful. There is absolutely nothing too strong for our God to do. Our God is alive. Death could not hold him. Our God is real. He's not something that's made up. Our God is creator. All that is, he made. No other gods can make the same claims that you and I can make this morning about our God. Because our God is the personal, loving creator who forgives us each and every day. There is no God like our God. He is wonderful, loving, kind, good, merciful, and we could go on and on all day long about how different our God is from everybody else. And as we think about this, as we think about the truth that there is no one like our God, we also need to understand that nobody forgives like our God. Micah says about our God that he pardons iniquity and passes over transgressions. There are a few misconceptions out there about forgiveness. First of all, when we forgive somebody, we are not saying that what they did was okay. Often I will hear people say, well, I can't forgive so-and-so because of what they did to me. And the fact that you've forgiven them means that you think that what they did is okay. No, no, no. God forgives us, but nowhere will you see that he says our sin is okay. God calls our sin sin. We are judged for our sin. We are punished for our sin. But God still forgives. So forgiveness has absolutely nothing to do with saying that what somebody did was okay. The other misconception that we have about forgiveness is they don't deserve my forgiveness. Forgiveness has nothing to do about deserving it. Because if we think about it, you and I do not deserve God's forgiveness. When we look at our lives and the sins that we've committed and how we have sinned against holy God, we don't deserve his forgiveness. But he gives it anyway. When God forgives us, he never says that what we did was okay or that we even earned it. Judgment will come for those who sin against God, but so will restoration because of God's unfailing love for his people. And as we look at Scripture, we see God's mercy throughout his word. I think of the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 24, where David decides to have the military and the people of Israel numbered. And his commander Joab says, "Don't do this wicked thing." But David does it anyway. And so this is the message that comes to David. "Go, tell David, this is what the Lord says. I'm offering you three forms of judgment." So we see David sinned against God. And because he sinned against God, judgment was coming. "Pick one of them and I will carry it out against you. Gad went to David and told him, 'Shall 7 years of famine come upon your land? Or shall you flee for 3 months from your enemies with them in hot pursuit? Or shall there be 3 days of plague in your land? And now decide what I should tell the one who sent me.' David said to Gad, 'I'm very upset. I prefer that we be attacked by the Lord, for he is great, for his mercy is great. I do not want to be attacked by human hands.'" And so David chose the punishment of God. And what would happen if you continue to read the story is as the angel comes to destroy Jerusalem before the 3 days is up, God's mercy stops and says, "That's enough." David wanted to be in the hands of God because David knew the hands of God was merciful. But the hands of God is forgiving. In this passage, we see both God's judgment of sin, but also his mercy. Another example is what we see in Jonah, the prophet Jonah, who is told to go to Nineveh, but instead he runs from God, gets eaten by a really big fish, and then gets spit up on the ocean, goes to Nineveh, preaches to Nineveh, Nineveh repents, and then he's mad. And he says in Jonah chapter 4, he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, this is just what I thought would happen when I was in my own country. This is what I tried to prevent by attempting to escape to Tarshish. Because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and one who relents concerning threatened judgment." Jonah did not want the enemies of the people of Israel to go free, but he knew that if he went and they repented, that God's compassion and forgiveness would be upon them. And so what we see here in this passage in Micah is giving hope to the people, reminding them that even though God's judgment does come, so will his forgiveness. You know, the prophets prophesied in a difficult time when the people were in constant rebellion against God. And punishment was coming. The people would eventually be taken captive. But the prophets also give hope to the people, reminding them of the incredible forgiveness that comes from God. Divine forgiveness is such a beautiful and powerful thing. When we read through the Old Testament, we see just how far the forgiveness of God goes. He forgave his people. He held them accountable for their actions, but he forgave. Throughout the Old Testament, we see the incredible forgiveness of God. As we enter into the New Testament, we see the incredible forgiveness of God in the person of Jesus Christ who came to forgive our sins. In Luke, we see that Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." And then, as we continue on throughout history, we look at our own lives and we can see just how much God has forgiven us. God is a God who forgives in the Old Testament. God is a God who forgives in the New Testament. And God is a God who has forgiven you and I today more than we could ever deserve or think. He does not let us do whatever we want. When we get out of line like a parent, he punishes us, but he forgives us. When a parent punishes their child, doesn't mean that they don't forgive the child. Forgiveness is a beautiful and a powerful thing. He is a God who forgives our sins. This does not downplay them or say they were okay. It just shows us his great mercy. And luckily for us, we see that God is short on anger and great in mercy. Micah says he does not retain his anger forever because he delights in a mercy. Again, mercy here is one of my favorite Hebrew words, chesed, which means faithful or loyal love. It means that God loves us in spite of us, that God loves us no matter what we do. It shows us the covenantal nature of the incredible love of God. Another translation reads, "Who is God like you who forgives sin and pardon the rebellion of those who remain among his people, who does not stay angry forever, but delights in showing loyal love?" There's two great things that we see here. First of all, we see that the anger of the Lord does not last forever. Praise the Lord, God does not stay mad at us. Now, I know some people that when you make them mad, they will not talk to you forever. Man, there are some people when you make them mad, they won't talk to you for days. There's some that won't talk to you for weeks. There's some that won't talk to you for months, and some won't talk to you for even years. You make them mad, ooh, their anger, every time they see you. Praise the Lord, God's not like us. Praise the Lord, he doesn't hold on to grudges like we do. Imagine if God stayed angry with us like we stay angry at other people. But luckily for us, he does not. That person that likes to stay angry at us as soon as we mess up again. Well, you remember when you did this 10 years ago? I don't remember what I did 10 days ago. What are you bringing up 10 years for? But isn't that what we like to do? We like to constantly bring up the past. And we're all guilty of it. Praise be to God that he does not do that. That when he forgives our sins, he does not stay angry with us. But instead of anger, we get chesed, or loyal love, or mercy. God gives us his great and awesome love, even though we do not deserve it. Now, I want you to notice what the text says about God. It says he delights in mercy. In other words, when God gives mercy to his people, it brings joy to his heart. God likes being merciful. Often we're the opposite. We like to be vengeful. We like to get back at. We like to retaliate. We like to stay angry and be short on mercy. God says, short to anger, delights in a mercy. God gives us mercy because it brings him joy. This is the great love that God has for you and for me. And the greatest way that we see the loyal love of God is at the cross of Jesus Christ. God loves us so much. God shows us so much mercy that at the perfect time in history, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never did anything wrong. We are the ones that sinned against holy God. But God in his love for us took our place. And he sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus would be brutally beaten, laughed at, mocked, and made fun of. He would then be nailed to the cross where he would suffer and die. Praise God, that's not the end of the story. Because on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. You know, it's so incredible, yet so simple. I love when reading stories like this to my daughter. She says, my favorite part of the story is when he comes out of the grave. Christians, that should be all our favorite part of the story. Because that's where our salvation comes from. Our salvation comes from the fact that our God is not dead. Our salvation comes from the fact that, yes, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, he shed his precious blood. Yes, he was buried in the tomb. But praise be to God, the tomb could not hold him. And on the third day, he arose from the grave. And that is the forgiveness of God. That is the love of God. That is what we call the chesed of God. The loyal, unfailing, unchanging, covenantal, incredible love that God has for you and I. The greatest way that we see his love is in Jesus. Do you know Jesus today? You've given your heart and your life to him. So the first thing that we see in our text is we see that there is no one like our God. The second thing that we see in our text is that God is compassionate. Verse 19 says, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast out our sins into the depths of the sea. God loves his people. Just as we see the forgiveness of God throughout the Bible, so do we see his compassion. Compassion and forgiveness go hand in hand. If you do not forgive, you do not show compassion. Because it takes compassion to forgive. Because again, forgiveness is not earned. In the New Testament, we see the incredible beauty of the compassion of Jesus. Psalm 103:8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He is patient and demonstrates great loyal love." Matthew 9:36, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were bewildered and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Matthew 14:14, "And he got out. As he got out, he saw the large crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." Matthew 18:27, "The Lord had compassion on the slave and released him and forgave him of a debt." Throughout the Bible, we see the incredible compassion of our God. God always has compassion upon his people. He really does love us. And I wonder how much we realize that truth. Because again, how often do we feel unloved? How often do we feel like nobody cares about us? How often do we feel like we don't matter? When the Bible teaches us that God loves us. And God is compassionate towards us. And God forgives us. Please hear this today. God loves you. Again, somebody needs to hear this morning. Maybe more than one of us need to hear this morning, but we need to hear this morning. God loves you. And put your name in there. If you're feeling loved, don't. Because you have the great love of God and you have the compassion of God. He loves us so much that he gets rid of our sins. I love this. Not only does God forgive us of our sins, but God gets rid of our sins. Micah does not just encourage the people by saying, "God's forgiven you." He says, "God's gotten rid of those sins." God will remove the sins of his people. Such a simple yet powerful statement. God removes our sins. The word that's used here, subdue, it says, "And he will subdue our iniquities." It means to tread underfoot or stomp out. So what it is saying is God is going to stomp out our sins. And what that means is when the forgiveness of God comes upon us, our sins are no longer held against us. Because if our sins were still held against us, we could never get into heaven. They've been stomped out. The NIV Study Bible says, "When God takes away sin's guilt so that it does not condemn us, he also takes away its power. So it does not rule over us." God stomps out our sin and then he casts them into the depths of the sea. Now try to picture this. There are places where the sea is very deep. And so I want you to think about this. Think about God on this big old boat in the middle of the deepest part of the ocean. He takes all of our sins, puts them into a anchor, cuts the anchor off, throws it into the depths of the sea. Now, how hard would it be to recover those sins? Next to impossible. That's the point. One commentary says, "Moreover, not only will sin be forgiven, it will be forever removed from sight, thrown into the depths of the ocean. Just as Yahweh cast all of Pharaoh's army into the depths of the sea, drowning them forever, so will he do the same to Israel's sins." Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God loves and forgives his people to the point that our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. He loves us so much that our sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. This is deep. Literally, the depths of the sea is very deep. He does not hold on to our wrongs like people do.
What a God who is like no other. So, God is like no other. God is compassionate. And the last thing that we see in our text is God keeps his covenant. Verse 20 says, "You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old." Micah ends his entire book, his entire prophecy, with a reminder of the promise that God made to Abraham and to Jacob. God made a covenant, and a covenant cannot be broken. There's a difference between a covenant and a contract. A contract can be broken. A covenant cannot be broken. Imagine how encouraging these words would be to the remnant of Israel after everything they had been through. After everything they have seen, after everything that they have dealt with, imagine how encouraging these words would have been to them. Verse 20 helps us to see the promise God made to Abraham to make a great nation of many people. God told Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And the entire world will be blessed through you." Genesis chapter 12. Today, you and I are counted in that promise. In the New Testament, in Romans, Paul tells us that we are grafted in. Jesus talks about how it's Abraham's spiritual children and not biological children. And so the promise of the covenant that God gave to Abraham comes to you and I today as well. In one commentary says, "The promise is a continuum that guarantees an inheritance to all God's people. The church thus shares the same heritage and hope as God's people in the Old Testament." God made a promise to Abraham and Jacob, and now Micah shows the people that the promise that God made is still good. The same is true for us today. God's promises are still there to give us hope at all times. God will always do what he says. Truth and mercy come from God. Truth about our sin and mercy towards our sin. God promised Abraham would be a great nation, and he is. God promised Abraham a descendant that would bless the entire world. Jesus did and does. God promised he would forgive his people. He did. God promised he would send the people into captivity. He did. God promised he would bring them back into the land. He did. God promised he would send a Savior. He did. After all, God promised forgiveness of sins when he promised he would send a Savior to take away our sins. To this, we have peace and hope, knowing that God will always keep his word. This means that we too will be forgiven by the grace of Jesus on the cross. Every one of us have made mistakes and sinned against holy God. All of us have sinned. Romans tells us that, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all messed up. We've all missed the mark. We've all made mistakes. Yet in his love for us, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and to offer us forgiveness. I want you to know this morning that there's absolutely nothing you've done that you can't be forgiven for. I want you to know that it's never too late to completely turn your life around. The forgiveness of God is always there, ready and available for the people of God. We do not deserve it. We've not earned it. God doesn't even say that our sin's okay. Even so, by his grace, he gives us mercy and forgiveness. Today, for some of you, this is going to be hard to hear, but that's okay. Today, I want you to know that you're not perfect. And that's okay. That's okay. Don't let your mistakes beat you down. Learn from them. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your sins. Know that what you have done is wrong, but also know that God forgives us, which means that He no longer holds that against us. What is God saying to us today? Maybe we're here today and we need to see that there's nobody like our God. Maybe you need to realize that there is absolutely nobody like our God. Maybe we're here today and we need to know that He forgives our sins and casts them out. There are times in my life where I've sinned against God and God has forgiven me, but yet I refuse to forgive myself. You know, I beat myself up, I hold on to that sin, and I constantly bring up my own sin. You know, we're not supposed to do that. Again, it's not saying that what we did was right, but God forgives our sin, and we need to learn to forgive ourselves, and that can be hard. I'm my own worst critic. Maybe we're here today, and we need to know of God's love and compassion for us. Maybe you just needed to hear that God loves you. Maybe we're here today and we need to know that God's promises are still true today. Every promise that God made in the Bible is still true. Whatever it is, let God speak to your heart. Lord, awesome God, none of us deserve your forgiveness. It's not anything that we have earned, but by your incredible grace, love, and mercy, you have given us forgiveness of our sins. I think of the song, "What Sins Are You Talking About? I Don't Remember Them Anymore." From the book of life, they've all been wiped out. Praise the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would encourage each and every Christian, each and every believer here today to know that their sins have been forgiven, that you love them completely and totally, and that there is no one like you, and that everything that you have promised, you will do. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that does not know you, that today would be the day that they would come and surrender their heart and their life to Christ. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.